Dave's Big Dick. Sherry, this is where, early in the program, my darling and adorable wife Joyce took her finger and ran it at random into this happy little book, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and so found the word, and then my job later in the program is to think of something to talk about the word. What, anything that comes into my head, some anecdote, some story, some autobiographical incident, something that relates to the word to me. And there's nothing predestined or predetermined about it. She finds a word, I've got to talk about it. Usually I have a little time, about a few minutes to walk around and clear my head and think of what to talk about. But the good news is that she picked a word that, so many things came to mind immediately. Because the word that she picked was Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon. I'll actually reread the official definition on that. Nickelodeon. A noun, an early movie theater into which admission cost 5 cents, or a jukebox, which, we haven't used it in that context in a long time, but it can be either one. And also, they don't even mention, because it's a small dictionary, that Nickelodeon was and may still be the kids' TV channel. And I remember when, in the early days of having cable television, I'm already starting, so let me make sure I play the intro theme.
Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary.
Yes, indeed. Dave's Big Dictionary, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about Nickelodeon and just remembering, what were the shows on there? Everybody seems to remember you can't do that on television anymore. Because it was a sort of a mix of laughing style, blackout bits and sketches specifically designed for kids. And I was already kind of too old for the demographic to be watching it, but I did, because it was a cable channel back when there were only 50 channels instead of 5,000. And it was kind of cool. The kids were having fun, and they got the green slime. It became the trademark, if you will, of Nickelodeon. I'm someone who hates getting messy and dirty and mud and bleh, and so I always literally cringe when somebody can be standing there and they just pour this bucket of green slime on them. But they started doing that on the Nickelodeon Awards, and it became a meme. It became a thing. So I don't know if Nickelodeon still exists. I think it morphed into something else like Kids Network or Kids Channels. And I think it's a shame because now they have a lot of sitcoms for the 8 to 15-year-old set, right? The ones that aren't on Channel 2, because all the grown-up sitcoms now are full of double entendres and sexual things and relationship things. There's no PG sitcoms anymore, or G-rated sitcoms anymore, on the major networks in the evening. So it's fine that they've got special sitcoms that Disney does, that these, adolescent channels do, where kids can watch the form of a sitcom and like the characters and get some laughs and so forth. But I hope there's still sketch comedy for that set, even if it's dumb, even if it's kind of real silly, as I said, laughing-style blackouts and so forth. But, just the idea of kids coming home from school after a long day, and kids have more to do than ever. They ever did. More homework, more out-of-school activities that probably work in little quick jobs and stuff. They got to take care of little brothers and sisters. So for a half hour, they can sit down in front of the TV and get some harmless, silly, slapsticky laughs. And I respect that about you can't do that on television and the stuff that was on Nickelodeon back in the day. And I think they also started with, before Cartoon Network, they were doing the stuff like Rugrats and Pretty Cool Cartoons for kids. I don't know if Ren and Stimpy started there. I think they might have. So that's one aspect of Nickelodeon, but not the one that I was going to talk to you about, because Joyce immediately brought this up when she was here, and she started singing the Teresa Brewer hit, "Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is love and you and music, music, music," right? Classic song, very, very catchy. What does, you know, it mentions Nickelodeon, and that immediately sparked an absolutely wonderful memory in my head of 30-something years ago when I was with a few of my friends back on Long Island, and we were in various bands together. It was always the same group, but we would do different kinds of comedy, rock, or pop bands. So we started with Stephen Fish and his Fabulous Fishheads, and then that morphed eventually into our big band, The Moist Sheep. Don't ask. So okay, that was our mainstay, and we did those bands for a few years. But in between, one of our group, I think it was Jay, got a gig for us to play at a party, a backyard party barbecue, at this rich guy. He was either a tax accountant or an attorney, but he's this well-off Long Island upper-class guy who was holding a backyard party. And somehow, one of our crew convinced him to hire us to play music for the gig. But here's the deal. It was a country-themed party, and we were not a country music band. But we had a month to practice. And so instead of being the Moist Sheep, or instead of being the Fishheads, it was like, yeah, we can play country music, because they were going to pay us. We're going to make, like, you know, a few bucks for the night, and also get free food, and get to play in front of a crowd, which is what we were all about. We wanted to play in front of people. So we cast about for names, and we became Red River Rodelets and the Pork Rinds. That was actually the name of the band for a night. Red River Rodelets and the Pork Rinds, which was just so you know, it was a takeoff on an Odd Couple bit where Felix Unger was doing country music, and it was Red River Unger and the Somethings. So we took that name, and we rehearsed like crazy for about 2 or 3 weeks just to learn all these Hank Williams songs. They were the only country songs that we didn't like country music. We didn't want to play country music. We hated the stuff that was on WHN and the radio then. We didn't like the slick stuff, and even if we did, we couldn't have learned to play it. But Hank Williams was simple enough so that we just learned about 8 to 10 Hank Williams songs. The best known ones. We didn't do the Luke the Drifter stuff. And we played Jambalaya, and we played I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And it did give me an appreciation that I never had for Hank Williams. Because, you know, I was not into country music, wasn't into it at all. But then learning these songs and their simplicity and how catchy they were, it made me appreciate what a great songwriter Hank Williams was. So that was a fabulous part of it. We do this gig, we do this concert, you know, backyard, nobody's listening to us, people are drinking, and they're eating, you know, burgers and barbecue, and they're drinking, and we're playing in the background, and occasionally they're dancing a little bit. Now, we had good musicians in our group, you know, Kevin the guitarist, and I guess we had the Wenig brothers on bass and drums at that, but I don't know if we had drums for this one. It might have just been bass and guitars and vocals and stuff. But we get up there, and we're playing these songs that we kind of know, and we're getting through them, and we're having a great time, and the people are having a great time because they're getting progressively drunker. But it's going well. It's going amazingly well, all things considered. And then they're getting drunker still, and they want other kinds of songs. So people are now starting to call out, "Do you know... Always by Aretha?" It's like, "No, we don't know how to play that. Do you know this hit from this? Do you know Blue Suede Shoes?" "Yeah, we know Blue Suede Shoes." We start playing Blue Suede Shoes, right? And then someone asked if we knew Music, Music, Music. Teresa Brewer sang it. And you know, that number. And I happen to know the song because my parents had the single. We had the 45 of the song. So I knew the first verse and like the chorus of it, and I knew how the song went, so I'm like, "Look, they want us to play, they'll probably give us like a tip if we play this damn song." And suddenly I'm going to the guitarist, and I think I'm there on keyboards, and I'm showing the guitarist real quick, "Okay, it's these chords," and I'm figuring out the chords while I'm, because I can't read music and there's no sheet music in front of me, and I'm sort of like, "Okay, it's like dum dum dum, dum, and basically those four chords within 2 minutes. We're figuring out how to play this song. But this was the beautiful thing. The guy who was throwing the party, this fellow named Myron, I won't give the last name, and very playful guy, he was already a little in his cups at this point. And he said he had had a bad hernia operation. I mean, it went well, but it was a very tough recovery. And during his hernia operation, he was bored as hell. Maybe there wasn't a TV in his room, or it had like 4 channels or something like that. But, you know, he's sitting in recovery, doesn't know what to do with himself. He's bored reading books. He doesn't want to. So he starts learning a song that he likes. And the point is, he's teaching it to himself backwards. And he gets up there and he says, "Can you play music, music, music? And I'm going to sing it, but I'm going to sing the words backwards." And it's one of my most treasured memories in all of my early 20s years, of being there with this country music band, instantly learning music, 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 and having this middle-aged Jewish guy get up in front of this party in this backyard and start singing music, music, music backwards. And it was so special to me. It was such a ridiculous moment, and so telling of the way my life has been in an odd way, that I eventually learned the lyrics to music, music, music backwards, at least the first part of it. So instead of singing, "Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon, all I want is loving you," and music, 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 he, of course, turned it into kism, kism, kism. Yeah, he really did this. And because of him, I went home that week, and just for the hell of it, learned it backwards, too. I wish I had a little keyboard in front of me, but it's Tupa reckon lekini niet noa dolakon law it no signibol white nak kism kism kism. See, I could be an overpaid lawyer or psychiatrist person myself. So that beautiful moment, and Nickelodeon spelled backwards is noa dolakon. You can look it up. It's almost a palindrome, but not quite. So, yeah, that beautiful, happy, happy memory of... I guess I should tell the rest of the story, that after kism, 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 we could do no wrong. And plus, everybody was still drinking. So after we got through our 8 to 10 Hank Williams songs and played a couple of them twice, we were like, oh, they were, just play what you want to play. And that's when we started playing other songs. That way we played Sweet Jane by Lou Reed, because we knew that one. We played... Happy Together by the Turtle. I mean, it's just like, why not? They let us, for the last 20 minutes, we just played for fun. We had fun, they had fun, we got paid. Beautiful night, free food, and kism, kism, kism. And that is our word of the day for Dave's Big Dictionary, Nickelodeon, on Dave's Gone By.